Hey, what's going on, everybody? You already know who it is, man. DJ Ultra right now. This is Music Promotion PR. Now, listen, man, we have a very, very important guest, as always, man. Robert Wagner, what's going on?
Hey, Jermaine. Thank you for having me.
Man, not a problem. Not a problem, man. You're actually not too far, man. You definitely, what, you're in Pittsburgh?
My heart is in Pittsburgh. Physically, I'm in the Philadelphia area, but I bleed nice. Black and gold, 412 for life. I'm a Pittsburgher, but I've lived in the Philly area for about 10 years.
That's awesome. That's awesome. But the only thing not awesome is what happened the other night when you guys got knocked out the playoffs. But
I thought that was a bad dream. Did that really happen? I thought that was a dream. You mean exactly. That was real? Oh, no.
Yeah, that was as real as can be, man. So you know what? Before we even go further into this, man, tell all of our listeners and all your fans and maybe new fans exactly who you are and what do you do?
Well, I'm the founder of a band called The Little Wretches. You know, I hear people throwing marketing language around. I loathe to use the word. It's my brand. But I created the band The Little Wretches as a vehicle for my songwriting because I felt that, you know, every picture needs a frame. Every story needs a context. I always felt like my stuff stuck out like a sore thumb and didn't really fit in anywhere. So I would need to build the context and build the frame that would make my writing, my music make sense. So that's how The Little Wretches was invented. I founded the band with my brother and some former bandmates that I'd played in a band called No Shelter. No Shelter was one of the first wave of punk rock bands in Pittsburgh and Western Pennsylvania. So over the years, The Little Wretches, you know, had peaks and valleys. Times where it looked like major success was imminent and then didn't materialize. And I've just always focused on keeping things moving forward, continuing to write, continuing to perform, and continuing to record. Everything's changed in that time. Now the internet, YouTube, Spotify, we don't really need so many people standing between, you know, we artists don't need too many people standing between us and our potential audience. So people who are looking for us, and we're like a needle in a haystack because it's so easy to do. There are millions more artists, but people who are looking are able to find us. So we're looking for listeners, people who are looking for what special that we have to offer, they'll be able to find us. And what I feel sets me apart, you know, I sound wise, I go across genres. Our most recent release is a very kind of rocking, high energy album. We also have acoustic, folky kind of stuff. But we're really, I don't know if you're familiar with a band called the Velvet Underground, but they have a song called I'll Be Your Mirror. And I'll Be Your Mirror says, I'll be your mirror, reflect what you are in case you don't know. And that, to me, that's like the mission statement for an artist. I'll be your mirror, reflect what you are in case you don't know. We want to leave you in somebody else's dreams. That's a line from an Ian Hunter song. And my audience, you know how a lot of businesses have mission statement, vision statement, and, you know, target audience. My target audience comes from the prophet Isaiah. The Lord has given me the tongue of a teacher that I may speak a word in season to him that is weary. So if you have people out there that are sick of life and hate everybody and everything, but are too stubborn to quit, we're the band for them. I'm the writer for them. So we're the little wretches, you know, how great thou art to save a wretch like me.
So you know what, man, tell us a little bit more, like how did you get into it, man? Like what was like the first day that you noticed, you know what? This is the type of music I want to do, and I'm ready to get out there.
Well, from the time I was little, that's, you know, I loved music, but I never thought that it was realistic or possible. You know, before I was old enough, you know, when my dad was doing some work around the house, my cousins and I would try to make instruments from scrap wood and rubber bands and nails. So my birthday present when I turned 9 was an acoustic guitar. I really wanted to play drums, but I've always, and you know, I had an older cousin who said that the Beatles were the best rock band of all time because they wrote their own songs. As soon as he told me that, I was, okay, then I got to write my own songs. And then, you know, things kind of took a really weird turn for me when I was in my teens. I went from kind of having the Leave It to Beaver life where I lived in a stable home with a mom and dad who loved each other to, you know, my mom ran off and disappeared. My dad, who'd always had a problem with drinking, became very violent. So the family totally disintegrated. You know, I became alienated and ostracized from everything. And, you know, it's when you're lost, you go back to where was the last place that I knew where I was? And the one place that I always know where I am is in music and in writing. So, you know, music and writing kept me alive. And really, there was never any other choice for me. You know, I've worked odd jobs. I'm a certified teacher, you know, I have a master's degree. But anything that I've ever done outside of music was just a way of treading water and killing time so that I could write and play music. You know, music has saved my life.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man. That's crazy. So, you know what? So let's dive a little deeper, man. So, who, obviously, you know, you made a reference to like the Beatles. So, like, who exactly shaped your sound? Or was it like just completely, you know, just you, or maybe it's like a mix of like everyone?
Well, it's a little bit like the three little pigs. You know, you build a house of straw if you have straw. You know, when the big bad wolf blows the little pig's house down because he built his house with straw, everybody laughs at the little pig. Like, hey, if that's what you have to work with, you work with straw. If you have sticks, you work with sticks. If you have bricks, you work with bricks. You know, I look at my songs as vehicles, and I've always been able to attract good musicians because they think that I have something. But, you know, stylistically, I cut across genres. It depends on really who I'm playing with and in the setting. I could be playing in somebody's living room. I could be playing in a coffee shop, or I could be playing in a rock club. In the past year, since I'm out here pretty much by myself and most of my bandmates still live in Pittsburgh, most of my performance are solo acoustic guitar. My songs, I could play them all by myself with an acoustic guitar. Give me a good singer like Rosa Colucci, and now we're a duo. Throw on a hot guitar player, throw on a hot drummer. Most musicians can jump on what I do pretty quickly. And I have a hard time now. I'm getting a little bit older. A lot of people in my generation that play music, they're like hobbyists. I really can't be bothered with hobbyists. You know, I'm doing something that you have to put your heart and soul into. And if you can't put your heart and soul into it, and I don't really want to be bothered with you. You're not helping me. You're holding me back.
You know what? I was actually thinking, I definitely love like the views that you have, man. And you know what? I have this question for you, because obviously I don't want to give out anybody's age or anything like that. But what is some of the like key advice, you know, you would give to people that want to create a band, or people that, you know, have like, I guess, a selective style of genre? Obviously, you know, right now, like everything is just going crazy. Everybody's at home with COVID. So like, what advice would you give to like both musicians that are stuck in at home, you know, and can't get out to do live performances or anything like that? And then also maybe any kind of words of advice to trying to make them be in the same situation that you're in? Because you're definitely well off. You have good management, and it seems like you're well put together.
Yeah, well, my experience has been realistically that some of the best musicians that I know, and throughout, this goes across the board in the creative arts, some of the best painters, some of the best actors, they just don't have a stomach for the business. You know, I'm a pretty sensitive person, but on the other hand, you know, I have a shell like an alligator. Nothing is going to make me quit. But a lot of creative people just don't have that toughness, emotional toughness. And, you know, I remember when I was young, you know, still taking guitar lessons. And my mother came in and asked my guitar instructor if he thought that I had any talent. And my guitar instructor said, well, he has a good sense of rhythm, which is something that you can't teach. So he has a natural sense of rhythm. But it's really not about talent. It's about hard work. And that's really the key. If you have something to say, there's a very good chance, unless you're some kind of prodigy, that you're not going to be successful on your first attempt. But if it really is in you and has to come out, you're going to insist on trying and trying and trying until you find your voice. And it's not something that you can control. If it's not coming from something so deep in you that you can't quit, if you're just in it for fun, you know, good luck, have some fun, but you'll probably be working at a bank in 3 years. If you're really an artist, you'll be doing it for the rest of your life. You know, and I can spot a lifer. You know, I have some friends who started when I started, who I knew. Yeah, he's a lifer like me. She's a lifer like me. If we end up playing to the spiders in our bedroom, we'll play to the spiders in our bedroom. If we end up playing for the governor or the president, we'll play for the governor and the president. But we have to do it. It's not a choice. It's a need. So if you have that need, just don't quit. Otherwise, hey, you might get lucky and just have some fun. Nothing wrong with having fun. I'm not anti-fun, but I'm all about that fire, you know?
Yeah. I actually see it now. Before we even go, man, we did touch on it behind the scenes, man. Why do you think that you are controversial a little bit?
Oh, man, I don't know. I don't even know what controversial is. I speak the truth, I'm a trauma survivor, and in addition to a trauma survivor, I'm a cancer survivor. So things that would be painful to other people to talk about, they're ordinary experiences for me. And it's very hard to be, you know, when you're around people, someone like me who survived a lot of hard stuff, it's almost, we have to turn ourselves off, you know, like if there's a volume knob and it goes up to 10, I feel like 90% of my life, I'm walking around with my volume turned down to 2. There are things that I cannot say. There are things that I cannot share because it just freaks people out. But the one place that I have control over what I'm going to say is in my music. And, people run from pain. People run from struggle. So there are people who will come across my material, say, oh, man, that's negative. Oh, man, that's depressing. Unless you've lived through it. And then you say, ooh, finally, there's somebody out there who understands what it's like for me. You know, and for people of faith who don't have it in them to give up, they can resonate with it because it's, there's stories of people who continue the struggle. So that's, I don't, you know, I could go, man, I could go so much into more depth, but no. If you really want the deep story, man, listen to my songs. You know, I'm looking for listeners really who don't want to just enjoy a good song, but want to get into the thing. You know, I got 11 albums out. I have a feeling that most of my listeners don't have one or two songs. They have all, you know, maybe 8 or 9 of the 11 albums because the people who like it, love it. And if it's not your cup of tea, you know, go find something else.
I hear that, man. So before you go, man, tell all of our listeners, you know, who you are, like your Twitter handles, your Instagram, where they can find you, your website, and, you know, well, the list goes on.
Yeah, well, the biggest thing is just littlewretches.com, you know, www.littlewretches.com. Now, I'm on Facebook. I don't really do Instagram or any of the other stuff. If you look for me, there's tons of live stuff on YouTube that was shot by, you know, by fans who've uploaded it, you know, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, wherever you stream your music, we're there. And, you know, click around and explore a little bit because we cross a lot of genres, mostly though, you know, rock and folk, you know, we're not like R&B or hip hop. It's from a different tradition. But what I do have in common with like the hip hop tradition is the strong spoken word and, you know, kind of roots in the Harlem Renaissance and poets like Amiri Baraka and Gil Scott-Heron.
Okay. I like that. Well, guys, you already know what we do here, man. We definitely bring people on to talk a little bit more about their music and what they like to do. This is Robert Wagner. Hopefully, you know, you could definitely come back on, tell us some more. Very, very interesting in a master's degree. But you guys already know what to do. Make sure you guys follow him. All right, and we're signing out.
Thank you.